Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise and thank the Lord for his loving blessings. May this beautiful spring day bring you the greatest feelings of gratitude, love, compassion, and faith. Please silence your digital devices and prepare your hearts and minds for worship as we listen to Kathy's prelude. Beautiful as always. Today we have Reverend Bob McNamara in the pulpit today. We welcome him. Bob is a retired ELCA minister who served at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Casper. He and his wife Joan have been worshiping with us, and we are blessed and honored to have him in the pulpit today. Please read over the announcements in your bulletin. I would draw your attention to the crop walk, which is in just a couple of weeks. And if you are interested in participating, see Keith Roust or Debbie Mestis. Please stand, greet those around you, and introduce yourself to someone you may not know, and remain standing for our opening hymn, I Know My Redeemer Liveth, found on page 225, and we'll sing all three verses. Yeah, probably I will. Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship. This is the good news which we proclaim to you.
Jesus Christ is raised from the dead.
Walk in the light of his love.
Live in the light of his teachings and healing mercies.
Come, let us worship the one who overcame death.
Let us celebrate the triumph of our Lord.
Amen. Please pray with me. God of resurrection hope, as you have raised Jesus Christ from death, raise us to new life in your tender care. Draw near and fill us this day with your Holy Spirit. Call us back from places of distraction. Lift the veil of daily routine that hides your constant presence from us. Show us the path of true life that we may know joy beyond joy in your light. Let us pray the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to take the chance to welcome some new folks, some visiting folks today here in this aisle. Thanks for coming. I'm glad that you're here with your family and some folks over here too. Our hymn of prayer is on page 197. Beneath the cross of Jesus, we will sing verses 1 and 3.
Good morning. At this time, all the children can go with Mrs. Grooms to worship and wonder, and also Sunday school. For parents, they are going to the boardroom today. So when you get done with church, why pick your kids up in the boardroom, not downstairs. So just make that announcement to you. Our card shower this morning is for Elaine Umbaugh. Elaine had suffered a stroke about 2 weeks ago. She's been in Wyoming Medical Center. She had a surgical procedure done this week that turned out to be very successful. She has been dismissed from Wyoming Medical Center and is currently in Elkhorn Rehab facility right now. So please take a moment and pick out a card in the pew in front of you and wish her well and prayers for continued healing for her. We continue to hold up in prayer Tommy Dobson, Pastor Cynthia's father. He was doing very well. He had actually been released out of the hospital and was going to his daughter's home in Las Cruces and had a relapse on Monday and ended up being back in the hospital in El Paso and has been in the hospital there ever since. He is doing much better. He was up walking without a walker and conversing and eating normal again. So they appreciate all the prayers for healing and comfort, and they ask that those continue. Carol Sage continues to recuperate at home with her double knee replacement surgery. She's doing well. And she's thankful for all the prayers for healing and comfort for her. She just needs additional rest and recovery as she goes forward. Prayers for Dewey Smith. Dewey went and had an eye exam again on his eye, and he's going to need some additional surgical procedure on that. Not sure when that's to occur, but we need prayers for healing for him. Regarding that, so on there. Other joys or concerns that are out there? Yes? I'm great. How about you today? Yeah, that's a joy, isn't it? We had sunshine and warmer weather this morning, so prayers for great weather outside. It looks like spring out there. I'll probably put the curse on it and have a little snow here this afternoon, but right now, enjoy the spring-like weather. So, yes, sir.
Pray for Bill. He's going through chemotherapy.
Okay.
He's working out pretty well so far.
Okay. Prayers for Bill, who is going through chemotherapy. It seems to be going well for him, but we ask for prayers for comfort and for healing for him. Cal. Okay, Dewey's surgery will be a week from this coming Monday. So if you can give him prayers of comfort and patience and then also healing, that I'm sure he would appreciate that. So, yes?
Prayers for praise and thanksgiving for this week. I was given a clean bill of health, no more clots, and no more oxygen.
Yay! We thank the Lord for that. We are so happy that you've been given that diagnosis and continue to rest and recuperate and get back on your full strength so you continue to enjoy your life. So I know Bob is excited about that as well. So in that. Yes?
Prayers for my youngest son in Billings for guidance.
Okay, prayers for guidance. Yes.
I just want to thank everybody for the prayers for my daughter, Allie, when she had her skull surgery. She's doing better now. Had a really good week last week, so I think she's on the road to recovery.
Great. Again, another joy to share is that the prayers for Allie have been great. She had a rough week after surgery when she came out, but since then has been improving significantly as time went along. So, and prayers for comfort for Mom. As she took care of the grandkids and the shuttle. Becky.
My daughter-in-law, Mindy, who is 7 months pregnant and is becoming a very difficult pregnancy.
So prayers for Mindy, for comfort, for guidance, and that as she works through the last few months of her pregnancy. Well, seeing none others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your life on this beautiful spring day. We are so thankful for all of your healing that you have placed on the ones who have been ill within our congregation and within our family. We ask that you continue to give us guidance for those who are working, trying to figure out their life's way. We ask you to be with Mindy as she struggles through the last months of her pregnancy. We ask you to be with her at all times to make certain that she knows you are there with her. For Bill, we are grateful that his chemo is going well. However, we know that he needs your strength and love to continue on. Lord, please be with Carol and Dewey and Tommy as they continue to heal, as well as Elaine. We're so ever grateful for everything you do for us, Lord, and we want to praise your name every day and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus knew that he was going to the cross and that death was to follow, yet he gave thanks before breaking the bread and giving it to his disciples. Did he do that just as a matter of politeness, of a ritual? One of the first things we teach our children is to say thank you. I'd like to think that Jesus was setting an example for us. Every time we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we should give thanks for what Jesus did for us, for there is no greater reason to give thanks, our salvation. With his blood, we were purchased. With his body, we were free. Let us prepare for communion. Please turn to page 330 in your hymnals, and we will sing Alleluia, Hear God's Story, verses 1 and 3. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray.
O loving God, we ask that you bless this bread for the nourishment of our souls. We ask that you also bless the cup, which shows your love for all mankind. Let us use the cup and the bread and the nourishment of our souls to go forth and spread love, hope amongst all who are with us. In these things we ask, amen.
Thank you. Since the very beginning of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, Disciples women have provided leadership and encouragement for ministry locally and globally. Today, Disciples Women, a self-determining ministry in close covenant with Disciples Home Missions, is a conduit for diverse connections empowering each woman to find her voice and live out her call. Inspired by Micah 6:8, Disciples Women seek to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. In listening to God's call, we advocate and work for justice while helping women across the United States and Canada find ways to lead others in this work through training and growth opportunities and providing resources to maximize their gifts and talents. In partnership with the Division of Overseas Ministries, we provide opportunities for women to learn from the experience of women of faith in other countries. Our work continues to educate, advocate, and eradicate the evil of human trafficking in the sex industry, labor and immigration issues, as well as demand. We partner with regions and congregations to encourage all women associated with Disciples churches to see themselves as disciple women, connected to each other and women around the world, growing stronger as they speak out and live out their call to ministry and mission in the church and in the world.
Christ showed the disciples scars of violence on his body, the spear wound in his side, and the nail marks in his feet and hand. How shall we respond to the scars of violence around us today, to those living with the effects of war, to the mentally ill?
Hi, I'm Terry Horde Owens, nominee for...
To the homeless and hungry stranger, to the addict, to the person who has been abused. For those wounded in the body of Christ today, let us respond by caring hands and generous hearts. The diaconate will collect our tithes and offerings. Pray with me. God of the impossible made possible, make of these offerings more than checks and cash. Transform them into ointment for the wounded bodies of your children. In the ministries that these gifts empower, bring forth light, bring hope out of despair, and new life from certain death. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Am I supposed to read Acts or Psalm?
Sorry, Acts.
Acts, okay. I could read them both. Acts 4:32-35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great peace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many owned lands or houses, sold them, and brought the properties, the proceeds of what were sold. Oh my. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need.
Hear the words of John 20:19-31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, these are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Bob?
We pray. Gracious One, we are grateful that we're able to come together as your people. We pray that your Spirit would enliven us. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And we pray that this word would take root within us so that we might go from this place to be a witness to your love and compassion. We pray this in your beloved name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, you know, in my tradition, I grew up, they call this Sunday Low Sunday. I wonder why. But you're here, and I am grateful It's hard to believe that it's been a week ago. A week ago that we celebrated Easter. There were a few more people in the pews, I think, at that point. But the challenge that we face today is that we are called to live the resurrection. Frankly, though, there are those days, that many of us simply want to close out the world. Or given all the violence that we read about, we see, and we hear, it seems that it'd be easier and safer to lock the doors of our house and avoid the circumstances of venturing out into the world. For instance, has there ever been a time, when you just wanted to run away, hide, and not deal with the reality of your lives, or the reality of what's happening all around us? Every time, though, however, we shut the doors of our life, we confine ourselves. Every person, event, or idea, we lock out. But when we do that, we have a way of locking ourselves in. That is what happened to our disciples in today's gospel reading. It was Easter evening, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. It was the day that Mary Magdalene announced, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples were gathered in the house. The doors were locked. They were locked because they were afraid. A week later, they were in the same place with the same locked doors. Nothing much had changed. And the disciples, well, they were still bound in fear. The door of faith was closed. I like how this one commentator describes their condition. Quote, "The disciples have shut their eyes to the reality that life is now different. They have locked out Mary Magdalene's words of faith, hope, and love. They left the empty tomb of Jesus and entered their own tombs of fear, doubt, and blindness. The locked doors have become the great stone, that locked themselves out." But not really locked themselves out, but actually locked themselves in. I wonder, one week after Easter, is our life any different? Is it any different? Have we left the good news of Jesus' resurrection as business as usual? Could it be that we have some interior doors that have been closed? Are the tombs of fear and doubt and blindness, have they kept us imprisoned? Wherever we are in our lives, wherever we might be at this moment as we gather on the second Sunday of Easter, it is a good time. It's a good time, a good moment to reflect and to take note. When John describes the house, the doors and the locks. He is also describing, I believe, the interior conditions of those who would follow Jesus. The lock places of our lives are always more about what is going on inside us rather than what's going on around us. In a sense, what keeps us locked behind closed doors? What keeps us? I wonder. Maybe, like the disciples, is it possible that there is some fear? Some fear? Maybe it is questions, disbelief, or the conditions that we place, the conditions that we place on faith. Perhaps it is sorrow or a sense of loss. Maybe the wounds are so deep that it doesn't seem worth the risk to step outside. For others, it may be anger and resentment. Some seem unable or unwilling to open up themselves to new ideas, to new possibilities, to change. Regardless, Jesus is always entering the lock places of our lives. Just as he entered the locked room where the disciples were, he breathes the Easter spirit. He breathes the Easter spirit in us. This spirit often comes unexpected, uninvited, and works to step into places which are closed in our hearts and our minds. Standing with us, the Spirit offers us peace, and He breathes new life into us. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit doesn't necessarily open the door, but the Spirit does give us what we need. So that we might open the doors of our lives. Open the doors to new life, a new perspective, to a new way of being. You know, the media rarely highlights those with the Spirit's leading give of themselves in this broken and chaotic world. Rarely do we hear the media speak of these things or these folks. But these kind of people promote hope in the midst of discord, in the midst of violence, in the midst of heartbreak. It is through such people that Christ stands and proclaims, "Peace be with you," breathing life into what can appear to be hopeless and lifeless. And speaking of people who may be without hope and help, every week, folks are fed through your sandwich ministry. How many of you are involved either in preparing those sandwiches or distributing? How many of you? Thank you. The boundaries of race, economics, education, and language all fall away when volunteers hand out those sandwich bags, along with smiles and conversations, and at times, even prayer. In the midst of that feeding, In the midst of that kind of feeding, Christ enters and says, "Peace be with you." The winds of compassion and love, they continually flow. They flow and touch lives. I am touched by the way people in this congregation reach out to each other in times of challenge and sorrow. For me personally, the prayers and gestures of love and support that many of you extended to my wife, Joan, has touched us both deeply. And we are grateful, and thank you. But not just for us. Your weekly prayers, and thank you for your prayers this morning, Dennis. Your weekly prayers and your emphasis on the practice of prayer has heartened many lives, more lives than you could possibly imagine. In many cases, sorrow and burden are given away to compassion, to hope, and more importantly, to action. It is through you that Jesus' words, "Peace be with you," take root in the hearts of others. Regardless of the circumstances, the Spirit shows up bringing peace. And just like the Easter miracle reminds us, God moves in mysterious and unexpected ways. Life and peace are resurrection reality. This life-giving peace does not necessarily change the conditions that affect our life. Oh, yes, I wish they would, but sometimes they don't. We know that destructive storms still will form. The people of Puerto Rico are still trying to recover. The hungry still need to be fed. Tragic accidents. Tragic accidents still happen. And unfortunately, we lose loved ones because they die. But the question remains, will we be open to the mystery, to receive the mystery, the breath of life and peace? Will we be open to the ways in which the Spirit works to move us? Will we be open to that? The life and peace of Jesus' resurrection enables us to meet and to live through most any circumstance. The Spirit of God gives us peace. It is the Spirit that breathes new life into each of us. And then it sends us out into the world, sends us out because we are free to unlock the doors of the closed places in our lives and to step outside into the beautiful life that God gives us. Amen.
Thank you, Bob, for your message today. Our closing hymn is on page 61. If you'll stand, and we'll sing verses 1 and 4. What page? Oh, 613, sorry. 613.
Thank you.
service, there's always coffee and goodies, and we welcome you to come down there and share friendship with each other. If you will please remain standing for the benediction. My barbershop has learned this as a song, and I love it, but just singing the tenor part probably wouldn't be very good, so I'm going to recite it for you. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you. May God hold you in the palm of his hand.